We are just glad to be here, and I want to tell you a little story. I have a dog at home. My dog lives for treats. We've got a special cupboard with some little doggy treats in it. In fact, I carry some doggy treats in my pocket just to reward her when she does something worthwhile. And she's just a consummate beggar. But, you know, one of her favorite treats is a little chew stick, you know, the rawhide twisty thing that looks about the size of a pencil. And she will just wait patiently if I tell her to stay. And then when I say it's okay, she'll go pick it up from wherever I put it. But she just loves those things, and she'll spend a few minutes chewing it up and getting it soft. She just has a great time with it. But, you know, if she detects that my wife and I are about to leave and go away, and I offer her a rawhide treat, she will just look at it and she will not open her mouth. And so I put it down on the rug in front of her, and she'll lie down and look at it, but she won't eat it. We go out, we go shopping, we go wherever we go. It could have been this morning. We didn't do it when we left home. But when we come back, first thing that she'll do is come and greet us with all the enthusiasm that she can muster, and then she'll go pick up her treat. Because you see, more than just the goodie that she likes so well, she likes being with us. And I think that I want to say that's how we feel being with you guys this morning. We have been through a long dry spell here. And it's just wonderful to be able to meet in person.
Yes.
Have a Sabbath school class. Have some, you know, give and take. We've done that with Zoom. But let me tell you, it ain't the same. So we're glad to be here. And we hope that our music will be a blessing to you. We invite you, as you wish, to kind of sing along or hum along, whatever you prefer to do. Some of the songs will be old ones that you're familiar with. Some of them will be newer ones, but we hope that everyone brings a blessing to you and brings us closer to God. I mentioned that we've been through a lot these past few months. Well, we've been through a lot through our lives, too. And one of the things that we look forward to is the time when we can be with Jesus and with our loved ones in the new earth. So this first song we're going to start out kind of ask that question. It's kind of like the kids in the back seat on a long journey, you know. Are we almost there? Just over the mountains, in the promised land, lies the holy city, built by God's own hand. As our weary footsteps gain the mountain's crest, we can view our homeland of eternal rest. Are we almost there? We've been on this road too long. Are we almost there? We just keep traveling on just a little bit longer. Keep traveling on just a little bit longer. We'll gather round the throne just a little bit longer. We're almost home just a little bit longer. We're almost home. In the books of the prophets, we have long been told of that wondrous city with its streets of gold, now with clearer vision. vision, we can see it there, with its walls of jasper and its mansions fair. Are we almost there? We've been on this road too long. Are we almost there? We just keep traveling on just a little bit longer. We'll gather round the throng just a little bit longer. We're almost home just a little bit longer. In that land of sunshine, where there'll be no care, accept God's mercy, to Him be true. When Jesus comes again, He'll call for you. Are we almost home? We've been on this road too long. Are we almost there? Just keep trying. Just a little bit longer, we're almost home.
Well, I'd like to make some formal introductions here. May not be necessary in most of your cases, but maybe there are some folks here that haven't met us before. And we're all kind of a family. Been doing this hand-picked thing for 25 years. And the guy over there on the piano is my brother, Bill Dickerson. And my cousin, Steve Dickerson. And I'm Clint. And
Dickerson.
Yeah, Dickerson. That too. And over on my right here, Steve has a cousin named Dennis Rutvik, and he's my cousin too, and he brought his wife Lori along, and she's our cousin too, so we're all family. And just pleased to be here today, like Steve said. And
it's we may hear later a little bit more how that relationship works too.
Yes, possible. Anyway, it's our desire that God's name be glorified here today, and if he'll just come and kind of put his hand over us and let you see him, that would be what we'd like.
Lori? I'd like to introduce this next song, but before I do, I just want to say that there's three other ladies in the group, and they're really important to us, and that's the wives of these guys, Beth Dickerson,
thank
Lynette,
you,
and Barbie Dickerson, sitting back there with the soundboard. I'm privileged to have five grandsons. That the oldest just turned five, so they're, well, Dennis is privileged too, but
thank
I'm talking.
You.
So. I get to babysit the youngest one, who's a year and a half, and this hasn't happened quite so recently, but on Wednesdays when I go over to babysit at their house, they live in Walla Walla, and the mom leaves the door open to the backyard where I come in through the backyard to the house. And when I see the door open, it makes me happy. I know that they're expecting me, and right now I have a little grandson that usually is toddling around, and he grins and says, "Bama," and he's happy to see Grandma. You know, the name of the song is "The Door Standing Open." We're going to sing that song for you now. It kind of reminds us that God has a door open for us as well. And we want to be able to walk through that door and see His open arms soon. Is the door standing open for me?
My troubles were many and my pleasures.
I see is that Jesus I hear calling out my name. The door's been opened for me.
Have a little Bible knowledge test here. There's a story in Book of Kings. I won't tell you which one of the King's books, First or Second Kings, but it's a story of someone being miraculously healed of leprosy. This is in the Old Testament, remember. So first question is, who was that?
Naaman.
Oh, everybody knows that story. Okay. I thought I was going to give you a hard one. Okay, here comes the hard question now. Who healed him? Oh, man, you knew that too. I thought somebody was going to say it was, the power of the water, or it was the prophet that did it, or something else. But you got it right. It was God that healed Naaman. Stepping into the water, dipping seven times, whatever that was all about. That wasn't what healed him. That did show that he was willing to trust God and take him at his word and see what happened. By the way, folks, there's some good seats up front here. Don't be afraid to come up and take advantage of those. So yes, it was God's power, not the power of the water. So we're going to sing a new song that we learned. It's called "There's No Power in the Water." And it suggests that instead of the water, it's the blood of Christ that takes away our sins. Before we hop into it, though, I need to check the tuning on my guitar a little bit here.
Well, this is most unusual. Steve has the art of tuning his guitar when we're playing. I always hold my breath.
Okay. There's no power in the water.
There's no power in the water, not the mighty Mississippi nor the Jordan when it floods. There's no power in the water to take away our sins. The power's in the blood.
God sent John the Baptist to preach and make a way for the Savior. He would save the whole world. Something even John the Baptist knew.
Mississippi nor the Jordan when it floods. There's no power in the water to take away our sins, the power's in the blood.
To introduce this song too. There's nothing like a full family dinner and all the chairs are taken around the table. It's been a while for some of us since we've had that experience in this past year, but it's always special. And as Steve mentioned at the beginning, some of these songs are familiar. This is a song that Handpicked has done a number of times, but Steve wrote and created this song that we're going to sing next. It's called An Empty Chair. When I went to introduce it the first time that I had joined with this group, he said, "It's not a sad song. It's a song about the joys of heaven." And if you listen to the words, it really is. It's talking about what a wonderful place heaven is. And what a wonderful thing it will be to sit at the table where we're all there and enjoying heaven and the presence of Jesus and loved ones. So we don't want any empty chairs. That's the name of the song, Empty Chair.
I could never hold to tell the joys of heaven. There are wonders more than I will ever know. But the Lord wants me to live with Him forever. It's the only place I really want to go. When the angels start to sing, hallelujah, saints from all the ages. angels start to sing, hallelujah to the King. It will be a chorus far beyond compare. Then the greatest and the least will all be seated for the feast, but there'll be an empty chair if you're not there.
Most of you have not had the experience that I have, and that's being 80, going on 88 years old. And it brings on its trials. There are days when you get pretty sour, my wife tells me. I think probably Steve gave this next introduction to me because of my condition. It's called Sweet Hour of Prayer, and I need something sweet every once in a while. But you know this song, and you just sing along all you want to here. We're going to perform this song that's been known for many, many years. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer it is, he tells me. How's that go? Yeah, okay. Escape the tempter's snare.
by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear. To him whose true and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to rest. And since he trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. In my immortal flesh I'll rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
You know, when I was a kid and sang that song, I always thought, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Why would we say goodbye to something that's nice and good? And I just have to tell you, I had to grow up to figure that out, that it's not because we're getting rid of the prayer, it's because we can do it in person, kind of like we're doing here, too.
So. Yeah, we don't need to do text messages anymore because we're here.
Face to face. Del Griebel, our friend, and by the way, a classmate of Dennis and me at Auburn Adventist Academy, and Lori, yes.
Thank you, Del.
Is going to share.
She was by far the prettiest.
of these three, anyway, Del.
No, anyway.
All right. I have a few things I just want to share with you. I have discovered the secret, and I'm serious about this. By the way, this is my family right here. This is Cheyenne and her friend, Darius, and I want to welcome you especially. And that's my wife's father and wife over here. And so I got a little family with me as well as classmates, so that's good. Well, I've discovered the secret of the gospel, really. And I'm not one to make things difficult. In fact, I'm not a theologian at all. I used to sit in my theology classes and once in a while had to straighten out the theology teachers because they were so busy making theological things, they forgot to get to the basic things. When I was in the seventh grade, I was asked by my teacher to explain the theory of relativity, and I did it, and it's really quite simple. You know, E equals mc squared. Well, if you reverse that, it's mc squared also equals E. And real simple, what that means is if you take this pen and you were to throw it as it gained speed and to the speed of light, that this pen would become shorter and shorter and fatter until at the speed of light it would become just one pulse of energy. It's totally flat. So much for that kind of stuff. Now, this is the secret, and it's the words of Jesus. It's found in the very end of Revelation. What do you know? The last will and testament of Jesus? Okay, what does it say? Revelation 22, it says, this is Jesus talking. If you look in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel with this testimony. I am the root and the spring. I am Alpha and Omega, all that kind of stuff. I am God. And then this is what he says. Come, and let him who hears come, and let him who is thirsty come. And if you desire the water of life, come. If you hear about it, tell other people to come. That's it. The secret of the gospel is not in the facts. The secret of the gospel is not in the facts. The secret of the gospel is in the invitation. Amen. That's how simple it is. That's why the gospel can go forward, whether you have an imperfect evangelist or an imperfect preacher or an imperfect musician. You know, the gospel goes forward in spite of all the imperfections that are human. The gospel is not the facts. The gospel is the good news. And if you could say the gospel in one word, what would it be? Jesus, that's right. That's it. Jesus is the gospel, and the secret to the gospel is the invitation. Think about Matthew. Jesus walked up to Matthew, and Matthew just was standing there in his tax collector booth, and Jesus said, come, and he did. And all the others, Peter, and, you know, I had a lady that I was in a recovery program with. At the age of 14, she left home. Because her home was a mess, and she had been abused, and she had watched her father abuse her mother, and she left. She became a prostitute in order to survive. At 15, she had her first baby. At 16, she was prosecuted for killing her father. You know, after all, he had abused her mother, and he got drunk, and she burned him up. She had been through 12 recovery programs. I was with her in the 12th recovery program. And in that program, she would talk about her experience and how terrible some of the things she'd experienced. And she was what appeared to be a hopeless drunk. And I talked to her privately, and she says, I'm going to heaven. I said, what? What? She says, yeah, Jesus is my Savior. Someone invited me to become a Christian, and I did. I had another lady who was also an Indian lady. She asked me if she could be baptized. I said, well, in my self-righteous, pious, pastoral, best voice, well, maybe you should, you know, get the victory over your smoking before you're baptized. And she got mad at me. And she put her finger right in my face. And she said, Pastor, I'm coming to God for baptism. I'm not coming to you. And you have no right to deny me baptism because I'm still smoking. And you know, she was right. So we went ahead and baptized her. And then she came back to me later and she said, you know, I quit smoking. And it wasn't your stupid five-day plan. Anyway, the secret of the gospel are the words of Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. And let him who desires to take the water of life freely come. Come, come, come. And then what's he say about himself? I am coming soon. That word, come, is used, it's the most common verb in the scripture. It's more than any other word, that word is used. That is the secret. And what happens when you do come? I have a bunch of scriptures here, but in order to save some more time for you guys, I'm not going to read them all. But when you come, what happens? When someone gives you the invitation, I was 12 when someone gave me the invitation to be baptized. I didn't understand all that stuff. I just heard about Jesus, and I wanted to do what was right. So I was baptized. Then someone invited me to go to Auburn Academy, and I thought it was a military academy. So I thought it sounded cool, and I went because they said, come. And when someone stood up in front and made a call to, you know, to be a pastor, ministers, someone invited me, and I said, okay. And so I came. Someone in the military came clear to my house in North Dakota and said, I think you'd make a good army chaplain. Would you come? And okay, I did. I feel like Isaiah, you know, he said, Lord, I am undone, you know. I'm a man of unclean lips. But then after he put the coal on my mouth, well, he says, who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. And that's been my life. And all it was someone said, come to me. Someone said, come. Someone gave me an invitation. Adventism will grow. Christianity will grow if we would just use that simple principle. Come. Jesus said it lots of times himself. Come unto me. That's it. And what will happen? Well, this is something he says. This is the covenant which I will make with you, basically. I will put my laws into your mind, and I will write them upon your heart, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Does that sound like a pretty good deal? Nice exchange? Isaiah says stuff like that too. Isaiah says, come, now let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. It sounds like a pretty good bargain to me. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer. This is Isaiah also. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord your God, who made all things, who stretched out the heavens alone, and I spread out the earth. And then he says, I formed you, and you are my servant. You are my children. You are my sons and daughters. You are my family. You know, that's the GRV version, Greeble Revised Version. And he says, return to me, for I have redeemed you. Come, come unto me. That's how simple it is. You know, when I get up every morning, I'm feeling bad about something. I just say, Lord, here I am. Here I am again. And he says, come, and so I do. That's how simple it is. That is the secret of the gospel is not in the facts. The secret of the gospel is in the invitation. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I certainly didn't follow my notes. Are there any benefits to this when you come? Yeah, I found out. You know, I've been an Adventist a long time now. I found out there's lots of benefits. An Adventist Christian, Christian first, Adventist second. But I kind of put them together because once you're a Christian, and the main thing about this book, it keeps talking about the Messiah coming, not only the first time, but the second time. So I get the main idea here. The main idea is the Messiah's coming, and so come. Okay. The benefits are long life, better life, financial counsel, dietary counsel, health counsel, love, better understanding of love, better understanding of science. I took a geology class up in Western Washington University, and they took us out, you know, looked at all the layers and everything, and they told us about millions of years. And I looked at that. And another class I was taking, they told me all about the cell. In the individual cell, there's the cytoplasm and the endoplasmic reticulum and the deoxyribonucleic acid and the ribonucleic acid, all that stuff, all in one little cell. And it happened over millions of years. that was at that point I realized there really is a God. I don't quite understand him. He's way outside of my understanding. But he says to me, come. And I said, okay. And that's what I say to you. That's what I say to you. Remember that. Percentage-wise, if you invite somebody to church or you invite someone to be a Christian, only about 1 in 10 are going to take you up on that. But 10% of that 10% are going to become Christians. They're going to accept your call. They're going to accept the invitation. And so that's all I want to say today. We're going to sing in music about invitations and the beauty of the gospel. But that's the secret. It's just come. Come. When I was in Iraq, I got lots of stories I could tell you. But I was in Iraq. I met one young man. And, you know, he was scared like me. And he was had a little Adventist background. And his name was Mick Hanton. And I said, Mick, you are a talented young man. I think you ought to consider coming back to the Lord and even being a pastor. He's now the young adult and family life pastor for the in Lincoln, Nebraska, for one of our colleges. I just got a lot of those kind of things. All I did is say, come, and he just responded. So I just encourage you to remember that. At the close of this service, I'm just going to say, come to. Maybe there's somebody here who really needs to come. You know what I mean? Come back to the Lord. Come to the Lord for the first time, whatever. At the close of the service, I'm just going to stand up here and say, if there's anybody that's like that, I'm going to just invite you to come right up here. I just want to pray for you, okay? All right, thank you.
I'm going to be thinking about pens all the rest of the day now, Del. That is the most interesting explanation of the theory of relativity that I've ever heard. So be careful with your pens, folks. But, you know, another thought occurred to me while you were talking. I think there's a spiritual theory of relativity, too, and that is it matters who you're related to. Who's your father? Who's your elder brother? That's what it's all about. You want to tell us about the next song, Dennis? Are you on? Up
yes, right? Yes. How deep the Father's love for us is the name of the song. And Del, I so appreciate what you've said about what it's really about. And you talked about the 10% here just in the last couple minutes. And we don't know how that works either, because once upon a time, there was one who was our creator. He became our brother, and he became our savior. When he was on the cross, there was one hanging beside him who did not have it together, and he was a sinner man. But somehow, come had happened in his life, somewhere along the line. And they were on the cross there, and there was nobody supporting Jesus, but God used that man to boost my Savior when he needed it more than anything. And he said, I get it. I know who you are. Please remember me. Now, do you know what Jesus' response was? You got it. You are saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. He says, you will be with me in paradise. And I think all of that, you know, coupled with what you've said, so talks about how deep the Father's love is for us. Part of that is in giving his Son to be our Savior.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Song is another sweet one, isn't it? In the sweet by and by, what a wonderful, it's only a dream now, but what a beautiful place to dream about, and we know it's a reality. To be there soon is the goal of all of us, I'm sure. In the sweet by and by.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there, in the sweet by and by. We shall meet sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Christ's gift of his love, and the blessings that hallow our days, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet.
Full of joy and gladness. Not everybody's had that privilege. My dad had bought a piece of property on the banks of New Wacom Creek, just outside of the town of Enumclaw, Washington, in the shadow of Mount Rainier. Beautiful place. We had 7 acres there with the stream flowing back behind our place, beaver dam on the stream. Certain times of the year, the salmon would come up the little creek and see them jumping over the dam. I couldn't think of a better place to grow up. Maybe I didn't grow up there. I only lived there till I was 7 years old, but that's another story. But even greater than the wonderful surroundings, the forest to go play games in and explore, the greenery all around, the blue skies about 6 days out of the year. It was a great place, but as I say, even better than that was the knowledge that I had a mom and a dad who loved me. I really had a home full of joy and gladness, and I should tell you, my folks' names are Joe and Gladys. And you probably get the connection there. It sounds kind of like their names. A cousin at one point decided that should be their nicknames, Joy and Gladness. Maybe, Clint, you want to tell us more about how that came about?
Well, yeah, it was my sister that came up with that. But I got to tell you about Dennis's sister, too. You see, Joe and Gladys, my Uncle Joe is Steve's dad, and Dennis's Aunt Gladys is Steve's mom. And very early in Dennis's sister's life, she came up with the proper pronunciation for the name Gladys, and it was Dado. So from that day on, in Dennis's family, she was always Dado. So if we sing this song and you hear somebody singing about Joy and Dado, you'll understand.
Joy and gladness, living in a house with peace and love. Living in a house with joy and gladness, and it's a little taste of things above. Well, the kids love the parents, and the parents love the kids, and everybody loves the Lord. It's the second chapter of the book of Acts, with all of us in one accord.
And we were
living in a house with joy and gladness, living in a house with peace and love, living in a house with joy and gladness, and it's a little taste of things above. When times got rough, as they're bound to do, you might think we would drift apart. But whatever the weather, we would stick together, 'cause family is a matter of the heart.
And we were
living in a house with joy and gladness, living in a house with peace and love, living in a house with joy and gladness. It's a little taste of things above. Thank you. troubles too, but the joy and gladness remain. It's a bit of heaven we can have right now while we're waiting for that day.
When we'll be
living in a house with joy and gladness, living in a house with peace and love, living in a house with joy and gladness. It's a little taste of things of living in a house with joy and gladness, living in a house with peace and love, living in a house with joy and gladness. It's a little taste of things above.
Okay, the next song is entitled My Name's Written There. And this is something that Steve did with a song that's entitled Is My Name Written There? And I don't remember if I told you this story when I was here before, but I'm going to take the risk of telling it again. Our oldest daughter got married and had a little girl named Kristen. And when Kristen was less than 2 years old?
13 months old.
Yeah. Yeah, just over a year old. Her daddy was killed in a motorcycle accident. Very, very sad thing. Anyway, eventually our daughter married again, married Pat, who's a great guy. And so he became Kristen's daddy, and they proceeded to have a couple more kids. And as time grew on and the kids grew bigger, and pretty soon Kristen got to be kind of a snotty little teenager, you know, and once in a while she'd say, you know, you're not my real dad. And it was kind of a sad situation, you know. Anyway, I've never been big on tattoos, but Pat went out and got a tattoo, and I've always kind of loved him for it. It was on his shoulder. It was a big red rose, and it had a ribbon around the outside of it. And on the ribbon were inscribed the names of the three, or the initials of the three kids. And Kristen's initials were on there with the other two. And I don't know what effect that had on their relationship, but it wasn't too long till I'd see Kristen putting her arms around Pat and saying, Daddy, I love you. And that was just really neat. And from that day to this, it's been a good relationship. And if you go over to Pat and Lisa's house, you'll see a picture there. And it's when Pat and Lisa first got married, and Kristen was just this little girl, and Pat's holding her. And the bottom of the picture frame, it says, my dad, my hero. You know, did you know that God has a tattoo? Bible tells us that he has our names inscribed in the palm of his hand. And he wants to be our dad and our hero.
That's Isaiah 49:16, if you want to look up, make sure he's telling the truth.
Thank you.
All right, Bill?
Yeah.
Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of God's kingdom, on the page white and fair, is my name written there? Is my name written there? Yes, your name's written there, in a place he will never forget. When he went to the cross to redeem what was lost, Jesus wrote my name in his hand. Thank you.
Lord, my sins, they are many like the sands of the sea. But your blood, O my Savior, is sufficient for me. For your promise is written in bright letters that glow. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them like snow. Is my name written there? Yes, your name's written there, in a place he will never forget. When he went to the cross to redeem what was lost, Jesus wrote my name in his hand. Oh, that beautiful city, its mansions of light, with its glorified beings in pure garments of white, where no evil thing enters to destroy what is fair. And the angels rejoice that my name's written there. Is my name written there? Yes, your name's written there, in a place he will never forget. Jesus wrote my name in his hand. Yes, it's written in the palm of his hand.
Amen. Let's just start this
one. Okay. Okay. And pure.
how measureless and strong it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
We're going to do just one final song. When I was back at that wonderful home in Enumclaw, we attended a church, Adventist church, that was probably about the size of this one. Did you guys see that Enumclaw church about this size?
The one you attended, the one I attended was a little house.
Oh yeah, he was in the log cabin. I forgot that one. But the one I attended as a kid was about this size, just a nice little church. And that's my earliest memories of ever attending church. And one thing that sticks with me till today is how we ended every single church service. And that was with this song, God Be With You Till We Meet Again.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you, with his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we
Before I pray, I would like to invite, is there just by chance somebody here that needs to just come back into that kind of fold that is that big family what Jerusalem is all about? Is there anybody here that just needs to? Would you like to come up and just sit on the front row? I just want to pray for you. Anybody? You're all old timers like me, huh? Okay. Let's pray. A Father in heaven, it is a great opportunity to believe in the almighty, immortal, all-powerful, all-knowledgeable Creator God. And we've learned what his name is. It's Jesus. and how he became a human being, and it's quite a mystery that we've tried to figure out for centuries. And his promise to come back is all I know is I want to be a part of that family reunion until we meet again. So Father, bless these people, bless myself, my family, my fellows and sisters, and I just pray that you will take care of us, Lord, until you come again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you all for coming. Unless there's something else you need to hear, that's our prayer for every one of you. God be with you till we meet again.